Proverbs 27:1. Boast not thyself of tomorrow, for you do not know what a day may bring forth. Proverbs 27:1. Acts 15:18. Known unto God are all his works from the beginning of the world. Acts 15:18. Psalm 118:24. This is the day the Lord has made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. Psalm 118:24. Colossians 1:18. And he is the head of the body, the church. He is the beginning and the firstborn from among the dead, so that in everything he might have the supremacy. Colossians 1:18. Philippians 4:19. And my God shall supply all your needs according to his riches and glory in Christ Jesus. Philippians 4:19. Would you open your Bibles this morning, please, to a number of passages of Scripture in Zechariah. Zechariah 1:9, Zechariah 2:3, and Zechariah 4, verses 5 and 6. In the preceding service today, I felt that I moved slowly. You may have thought I moved rapidly. But I want you to know that when we come to the end of this service this morning, you're going to say, he moved rapidly. Zechariah chapter 1, verse 9. Zechariah chapter 2, verse 3. Zechariah 4, 5, and 6. We spend a moment in prayer before we begin our reading. Father, we're thankful for every blessing of life. Most of all today, we express our thanks for salvation through the Lord Jesus Christ. We're keenly aware of the fact that all across our land and around this world, there are many people who've yet never accepted Jesus Christ as Savior. This is their desperate need. And we are thankful that Jesus has told us that he's the way of salvation. There's only one way, and that's through Jesus Christ. The one who said, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no one comes to the Father except by me. Father, we're thankful today that any individual, no matter where they are, no matter what their particular condition is, we realize that each individual can make the greatest decision in the world, and that is to personally accept Jesus Christ as Savior. Upon the authority of the Word of God, we are aware of the fact that whenever a person does that, they're saved by your master's grace. The mind is changed because at the point of salvation, the mind moves to the acceptance of the person of Jesus Christ as Savior. And upon that acceptance of Jesus Christ, salvation is theirs. And so we're thankful for the opportunity which is ours now again to present that great message. And we ask that you'll bless us in these coming moments. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Would you look, please, at Zechariah 1, verse 9. Then I said, my Lord, what are these? And the angel who was speaking with me said to me, I will show you what these are. A casual reading will not get to you on this. Let me show you that we're emphasizing angels and Zechariah. This verse again says, then I said, my Lord, what are these? And the angel who was speaking with me said to me, I will show you what these are. Now glance over to chapter 2, verse 3. And behold, the angel who was speaking with me was going out, and another angel was coming out to meet him. And behold, the angel who was speaking with me was going out, and another angel was coming out to meet him. Now chapter 4, verses 5 and 6. So the angel who was speaking with me answered and said to me, "Do you not know what these are?" And I said, "No, my Lord." Verse 6, then he answered and said to me, "This is the word of the Lord to Zerubbabel, saying, not by might nor by power, but by my spirit, says the Lord of hosts." I've read those verses slowly and deliberately on purpose because I wanted you to see that there's an emphasis in chapter 1, verse 9, chapter 2, verse 3, chapter 4, verses 5 and 6, angels and Zechariah. God's message to and through the prophet or prophets generally came by direct moving of the Spirit upon the mind of the man of God. I'm having you think with me for a few moments about that sentence. I've discovered that what happens to me is that when I sit to communicate to you by way of typing, many times it's very knowledgeable and understandable to me. But sometimes when I'm standing here, as I did in the previous service, and I'm giving information, the concepts and the ideas that all were in my mind in preparation and presentation didn't all come out on what was being typed out. So let me tell you that when that happens to me like it did in the previous session, you put it down. I will be back there with you and we will analyze those statements so that there will be no misunderstanding. On this point, God's messages to and through the prophets generally came by the direct moving of the Spirit upon the mind of the man of God. But here in the book of Zechariah, the Heavenly Father makes use of angels. This is amazing to me. It's so amazing that that's the reason why I want to spend this entire session on that subject. If you'll notice that the word I have listed for you here is angeloi, A-G-G-E-L-O-I. When I look at that word, I'll have to let you know that the suffix, the ending of the word, is the nominative masculine plural. There's a reason that I say that, because it is angels, plural. If you have Omicron Sigma, the two letters at the end in the Greek, it is angelos, which is an emphasis upon angel, singular. So here we have not angelos, but angeloi, O-I, plural, angels. In the book of Zechariah, the Heavenly Father makes use of angels, plural. Let me also tell you that in the Greek language, this is really neat, that when you have two G's together, it's changed to N-G. And so here we can say then, A-N-G-E-L, taking off the suffix, the ending. Taking off in the noun, the O-S, Omicron Sigma. In the plural, taking off Omicron Iota. You following along? How neat. So we have A-N-G-E-L. All of these verses I read to you this morning, verse 9, verse 3, verses 5 and 6. If you notice, in every one of those verses, there is the word angel. In our study of the Word of God, we discover that angels play a large part in directing the panorama of the plan of God. I want you to let this sink in. In our study of the Word of God, we discover that angels play a large part in directing the panorama of the plan of God. before seeing the ministry of angels in the life of Zechariah, let's just check for a few moments some New Testament examples. Angels had a great part in the life of the Lord Jesus Christ. All you have to do is wade through the New Testament in the Synoptic Gospels, Matthew, Mark, and Luke. Make your way through other passages of Scripture in the New Testament, and you'll see that angels had a great part in the life of the Lord Jesus Christ. In Luke chapter 1, verses 26 to 37, an angel foretold to Mary the birth of our Lord. You may want to take some of these down. They're so fantastic. An angel foretold to Mary the birth of Jesus Christ. Luke 1, 28 to 37. Number two, an angel foretold to Joseph the birth of the Savior. You find that in the book of Matthew, chapter 1, verse 20 and 21. Isn't it amazing that here we find Mary and Joseph, and we find an angel dealing with them? So an angel foretold to Mary the birth of Jesus. An angel foretold to Joseph the birth of the Savior. In Luke chapter 2, verses 8 through 15, angels announced to the shepherds the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm letting you know that God used angels. Number four, an angel directed the child's flight to Egypt, found in Matthew chapter 2, 13 and 20. I know you're not going to be able to get all of these, but if you get some of them and this, you go back and begin to read it, you'll say, my, how God moves in a magnificent way and how he uses various and sundry individuals and here angels. An angel directed the child's flight to Egypt, Matthew 2, 13 and 20. Number five, angels ministered to Jesus at his temptation. This is so amazing to me. I get so carried away when I get into the fourth chapter of the book of Matthew, when Satan is tempting the Lord Jesus Christ. What's Jesus Christ going to do with those temptations from Satan? He's going to answer it. How is he going to answer it? He's going to answer it by the word of God. In fact, he's going to be so specific as to use the original language in the perfect tense. And he'll say to Satan, I want you to know, Satan, the word of God has been written in the past, consummated in the past, conclusions made in the past, and the word of God continues to this very present moment, and I'm able to take the word of God and slap you in the face. Now, he didn't say it that way, I don't think. But I want you to know that that is a use in the fourth chapter of Matthew. The perfect tense verb is used over and over again, and Jesus is saying, it has been written, it has been written, it has been written. And the reason I'm saying that so emphatically today is that's the way that you and I can resist temptation. We don't resist it by our own energies of the flesh. We don't resist it by what we can do. We resist the temptations of Satan by the word of God. Angels ministered to Jesus in his temptation, fourth chapter of Matthew. Number six, an angel rolled away the stone at the tomb, Matthew 28:2. Number seven, his resurrection announced by an angel in Matthew 28:5-7. Number eight, two angels presented him to Mary Magdalene in John chapter 20, verses 11-14. Oh, let me tell you, angels were also very active in the book of Revelation. Now, we'll not take a lot of time, but I want to give some things to you rapidly. An angel dictated the book. You find that in Revelation 1, chapter 1, verse 2, and chapter 22, verse 16. The angel dictated the book. Number two, each of those seven churches had an angel. Each of those seven churches had an angel. You find that in Revelation 1:20 and chapter 2, verse 1, all the way through there, the seven churches are mentioned. Number three, we're talking about Revelation. An angel was interested in the seal book in chapter 5, verse 2. Can you see what I've done? I've just done you a favor. I found these verses in the book of Revelation that talk about an angel, what the angel had to do. When I went to number three, I found that in chapter 5, verse 11, that 1 million angels sang praises to the Lamb. 1 million angels sang praises to the Lamb. Revelation 5:11. Number four, an angel sealed the elect in Revelation 7, verses 1 through 4. Number five, angels fell down on their faces before God in chapter 7, verse 11. Number six, an angel is directing prayers of saints in the 8th chapter of the book of Revelation. Number seven, seven angels, sounded seven trumpets in the 8th chapter of the book of Revelation. Number eight, an angel had the open book announcing the end in Revelation 10, 1, 2, and 3, and 6. An angel had the open book. Number nine, a flying angel proclaimed the gospel to the nations in Revelation 14. Now, you are interested in this, and you would like to have more, but that's all I can do for you now from the book of Revelation, even though there's much more there. These are just a few of the 27 different references in the book of Revelation to the angels' activities. Number two, angels aided in writing the book of Zechariah. Do you folks see how much fun I have in studying and teaching you? A pastor could not be more pleased than to be able to stand here like I'm doing now and have an audience listening like you are listening now. It's amazing to me. It's such a tremendous blessing. I cannot tell you how thankful I am for you and your attentiveness in hearing not me, but the Word of God. That's the need of our day. The need of our young people is the Word of God. The need of these young married couples, it's the Word of God. What is needed for the middle age as they begin to face various difficulties in life, the Word of God. To those of us who have gotten older, and we face all kinds of ups and downs in life, what do we need? We need the Word of God. That's what I'm doing. That's what God called me to do. And you know what? I'm thankful that you are here to hear. Angels aided in writing the book of Zechariah. Zechariah 1:9 says, "And the angel who was speaking with me said to me, I will show you what these are." Now, I could get into the details of what this is, but that's not what I'm trying to get over. Zechariah 2:3 says, "And behold, the angel who was speaking with me was going out, and another angel was coming out to meet him." I'm telling you, these angels had responsibilities. When I go to Zechariah 4, 5, and 6, "So the angel who was speaking with me answered and said to me, do you not know what these are?" A reference to the two olive trees. I want you to see in Zechariah 4, 5, and 6, "So the angels who were speaking with me answered and said to me, do you not know what these are?" And in this passage of Scripture, there's a reference to the two olive trees. "And I said to my Lord," verse 6, "then he answered and said to me, this is the word of the Lord to Zerubbabel, saying, not by might, nor by power, but by my spirit, says the Lord of hosts. I want you to repeat this. I want you to see this. In these last two verses, Zechariah 4, 5, and 6, the angel who was speaking with me answered and said to me, do you not know what these are? There's a reference, of course, to the information about the two olive trees. And I said, no, my Lord. Have you ever had anything in your mind coming to you and the Lord, in essence, was saying, do you understand? And you said, no, my Lord, I don't understand. If you haven't had that experience, you've missed it. Then he answered and said to me, this is the word of the Lord to Zerubbabel, saying, not by might nor by power, but by my spirit, says the Lord of hosts. What we discover in the scripture is that angels are announced. And I've already mentioned this in essence, but I want you to see it again. The conception of Christ presented by angels in Matthew 1, 20 and 21. What I did, I prepared this and gave abbreviated, and then I came back and I have now, I want you to see it in more detail. The conception of Christ, Matthew 1, 20, 21. But while he thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, do not be afraid to take unto yourself Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit. What I want you to see is how powerful this is. The conception of the Lord Jesus Christ announced by an angel. So, the scripture says, the angel said, she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus. You talk about specific. She shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus. What's the reason for this? For he shall save his people from their sins. Are all of us familiar with how fantastic that is? Have we ever let it blow our minds? Have we ever been able to fully think about it? Of how the Holy Spirit brought about the virgin conception and the virgin birth of Jesus Christ. You've got to think that over. You've got to think about it. You've got to see that the power of God in the eternal ages past looked down upon you and me, and they saw our depravity. They saw our sins. They saw our need of salvation. And in the eternal ages past, the members of the Godhead, Deity 1, 2, and 3, discussed our plight. And Deity 1, and putting this in modern terminology, human terminology, Deity 1 said to Deity 2, you know what? There's a problem, and the problem has to be solved. And the only way the problem can be solved is that divinity take charge and Deity do its job. And Deity 2, the pre-existent Christ, in my mind, looked up to Deity 1 and said, it's not going to be an easy road, but I'll take that journey. And that's exactly what we find when we come to the Holy Spirit bringing about the birth of Jesus Christ. And it was an angel that announced this. She shall bring forth a son. Thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. So when you go to the second chapter of the book of Luke, there you have the presentation of the birth of Christ. And the angel said unto them, fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. Verse 11, for unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. How many times have we been over those verses? And this shall be a sign unto you. Ye shall find a babe wrapped in swaddling clothes. That's death clothes. Lying in a manger. You see how God used angels? Number three. When you come to the resurrection of Jesus Christ. In Luke 24:23. And when they found not his body, they came saying that they had also seen a vision of angels, which said he was alive. Isn't that something? Let me look at it with you. The birth of Jesus Christ, the angel said unto them, don't be afraid, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you. You shall find the babe wrapped in death clothes, lying in a manger. And then the resurrection. And when they found not his body, they came saying that an angel, that they had also seen a vision of an angel, which said that he was alive. In Matthew 28:5-7, an angel answered and said unto the women, don't be afraid, for I know that you seek Jesus, which was crucified. He's not here, for he is risen. Come see the place where the Lord lay, and go quickly and tell his disciples he's risen from the dead. And behold, he goeth before into Galilee. There you shall see him. Lo, I've told you. Isn't that amazing? Go quickly. Tell his disciples that he is risen from the dead. And behold, he goeth forth into Galilee. There you shall see him. I've told you. Number four, when you go to the ascension and the second coming of Christ. In Acts 1:11, ye men of Galilee, why stand you gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus, which is taken up from you into heaven, shall so come in like manner as you've seen him go into heaven. Are you able to see the ministry of angels? What I'm trying to do is just paint a picture here. When we come to the conception of John the Baptist, in Luke 1:13-36, the angel said unto him, fear not, Zacharias, for thy prayer is heard. And thy wife Elizabeth shall bear thee a son, and thou shalt call his name John. Then when you go to verse 36, it says, and behold thy cousin Elizabeth, she hath also conceived a son in her old age, and this is the sixth month with her who was called barren. And then verse 37, for with God, nothing shall be impossible. All I'm trying to do as I was typing all this out is let you see that God continually used angels. Angels ministered to Christ. We find that in Matthew 4:11. In the wilderness temptation, then the devil leaveth him. And behold, angels came and ministered to him. And when you go to Luke 22:43, and there appeared unto him from heaven an angel strengthening him. Oh, it's amazing. I just wish that I could keep you here for hours because I have so much information about angels. Would you look with me again? Please notice. Chapter 1:4, is it? No, verse 9. Then I said, my Lord, what are these? And the angel who was speaking with me said to me, I will show you these. Glance over at chapter 4:5-6. So the angel who was speaking with me answered and said to me, do you not know what these are? And I said, no, my Lord. Then he answered and said to me, "This is the word of the Lord to Zerubbabel, saying, not by might, nor by power, but by my spirit, says the Lord." May we bow for a moment of prayer, please. Father, we are aware of the fact today that over the years of time, you've used a lot of different individuals and you use angels. How wonderful this is. We pray and thank you for the way that you led in the life of Zechariah. And we have been made so keenly aware of the fact that the Spirit of God worked so magnificently in this prophet's life. As we've made our way over the past months through all these books of the Old Testament, we've been able to see it time and time again how the power of God worked so magnificently and how the presence of Jesus Christ was found there. So many theophanies, so many times when we have the revelation of Jesus Christ in various ways as he manifested himself so beautifully in the lives of these individuals. Today we're thankful for the Lord Jesus Christ and his willingness to make it plain and simple and clear that we can understand and appreciate what has happened to us as being the recipients of imputed righteousness. We are blessed by the grace of God. We have been born again, and we thank you for it. And we pray that today there will be many who hear this message will understand that the greatest thing that could ever happen to them is to be born again. The scripture says you must be born again. And we are aware of the fact that the question may come, well, how can you be born again? And Jesus gives us the plain answer. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever would believe in him would not perish, but have everlasting life. We pray that at this very moment, there will be many who will accept you as their personal Savior. And we thank you again for ever blessing in Jesus' name. Amen.